Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to John 10, the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. We'll read together the first 18 verses. My text for our communion service this morning is verse 11. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There ends our reading of the Holy Scripture this morning. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word. The text is verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word this morning, the word of the great and good shepherd of us, who are his sheep. May that word edify us, and may that word be a blessing to us in light of our partaking of the Lord's Supper. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. In this passage of God's word, the Lord Jesus describes himself and his saving work under two closely related figures. First, he describes himself as the door or the gate into the sheepfold. And secondly, he describes himself in the words of our text as the good shepherd. From two points of view, Jesus is the door of the sheepfold, that sheepfold being the enclosure into which several shepherds would herd their flocks of sheep for the night. That way, most of them could get sleep, and only one or two of them would have to stay up in order to keep watch over the sheep. Jesus is the door, the gate into that sheepfold. He is that first of all because all who come in order to bless and in order to lead the sheep must come in his name. They must be his under shepherds coming on his behalf and in his name. Jesus functions as the door through which they enter into the sheepfold in order to summon the sheep so that the sheep follow them into green pastures and beside still waters. But Jesus is also the door of the sheep because he himself is the one through whom it is necessary for a man to come as a sheep of the Lord Jesus. Only they who come in his name, believing on him, trusting in him, following him, enter into the sheepfold through him who is himself the door of the sheep. But besides being the door, Jesus is the good shepherd. That's his teaching in the text for this morning. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. It is that giving of his life that we celebrate together this morning. I call your attention to the good shepherd. Let's notice together three things. First of all, the good shepherd who gives his life. Secondly, that he gives his life for his sheep only. And then finally, let's notice together the benefit, the saving benefit that comes to the sheep because of the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd first of all because of his own innate goodness, the goodness that is his as the Son of God, the divine Son of God, the goodness that is his as he himself shares in the goodness of God. Jesus has declared that about himself in the passage, that he is the Son of God. That's the significance of it, that he identifies himself as the one and only good shepherd of the sheep. He is the one to whom the porter openeth. He is the one whom the sheep follow, whose voice they hear and obey. By me, Jesus has said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so, in that intimate way, do I also know the Father. And in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus is the Son of God, one, essentially one, with God himself. And as the divine Son of God, he shares in all the glorious attributes of God. And he is, from that point of view, the good shepherd. True as that is, that's not the emphasis in the text. Certainly, it's there. But the emphasis in the text is not on Jesus' own inherent goodness, but on his goodness to us. The goodness that he exhibits and shows to us who are his sheep. That's the emphasis. Because of the goodness, the great goodness, the goodness that is the goodness of salvation itself, Jesus is the good shepherd. Because he bestows on us the highest good, the ultimate good, the good of salvation itself, salvation now, and salvation eternally. Jesus is the good shepherd. He distinguishes himself in the passage from the thieves and the robbers, first of all. They are the enemies of the sheep. They have in mind the destruction of the sheep. They have no interest in the good of the sheep. Their only interest is in their own good at the expense of the sheep. They come, says Jesus in verse 10, the verse immediately before the text, in order to steal, in order to kill, and in order to destroy. Over against them, Jesus is the good shepherd. But Jesus is also the good shepherd in distinction from all false and faithless shepherds. They are the hirelings that are referred to by Jesus in verses 12 and 13, the verses immediately following the text. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Here Jesus has in mind the leaders of the Jews of his own day. He has in mind the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests. They were supposed to be shepherds to God's sheep. They had the name of being under shepherds of the great good shepherd. But like the thieves and robbers, they had an interest only in themselves. The hirelings fleeced the sheep and took advantage of the sheep. They had their own good in view, not the good of the sheep of Jesus. They were no good shepherds whatsoever. In distinction from them, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he carries out faithfully the duty of a shepherd. He does for his sheep what a faithful shepherd ought to do. First of all, it is the shepherd's duty to provide for the sheep, to lead them into the green pastures and beside the still waters. That was the calling of a shepherd, a very common occupation in Jesus' day. And it was the calling of the shepherd to protect the sheep. They were in need of that protection. They were easy prey for the wolves and for the other wild beasts, as well as the hirelings. They had no fangs to defend themselves, no sharp claws. Neither could they run at a high rate of speed in order to flee away from their enemies. So they depended altogether on the care of their shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he does both. He provides for his sheep, and he protects his sheep. You can remember that, children, the duty of the good shepherd. Two P's. He provides for them and he protects them. He does both, and he does both at the cross. The cross of Calvary is the ultimate expression of the goodness of the good shepherd on behalf of his sheep. Jesus is speaking prophetically, of course, in the text. He is speaking of his suffering and dying on the cross. That's when he will give his life for the sheep. Because he is the good shepherd, he went to the cross. There on the cross, he showed himself to be the good shepherd. There, he both provided for his sheep, provided for them everlastingly, provided for every need, every real and spiritual need that they had. And there at the cross, he defended them against their enemies, sin and Satan, death and hell. He put those enemies to flight as the great good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's what we commemorate in the sacrament this morning. The goodness of the good shepherd to us who are his sheep. In the sacrament, we commemorate the good shepherd's giving of his life on our behalf. In connection with Jesus' giving of his life, there are a couple of things that we should notice. First, in the giving of his life comes out the love of the good shepherd. His love for us and for all his sheep. It's true that the text does not speak explicitly of the love of the good shepherd. Nonetheless, it's there and looms large in the text. That comes out when Jesus says in the text, "I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Freely and willingly, he lays down his life. His life isn't taken from him. He's not like a criminal who is executed on account of the crimes that he's committed, but who dies at the hand of the executioner altogether unwillingly. Jesus dies willingly. He gives his life for the sheep. That underscores his love for the sheep. Nothing else could explain it, that he would give his life to suffering the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we all deserve. Nothing could explain that apart from his love for us. That love is also underscored in the text by the fact that what he gives is his life. His life. Not silver or gold. Not something or other on our behalf. But he makes the ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice of his own life. Nothing can explain that other than his love for us. This is what distinguishes Jesus as the good shepherd from the thieves and the robbers and from the hirelings. They do not love the sheep. They love themselves. The sheep are expendable to them. Not so with the Lord Jesus. He loves his sheep. And on account of his love for the sheep, lays down his life for them. I have not the time to make the application that ought to be made at this point to office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ, under shepherds of the Good Shepherd, who ought to be a reflection of the Good Shepherd and ought to share in his love for the sheep and his willingness to lay down his life. Every office bearer in the church ought to be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. In the second place, he lays down his life for the sheep. Now I call your attention just to the little word for. He dies a substitutionary death. He dies in the place of us. We are the ones who deserve to die. He does not deserve to die. As the Son of God, he shares in the perfection of the being of God. He does not deserve to die, but we deserve to die on account of our sin in Adam, on account of the depravity with which we're born into this world, on account of all our actual sins. But he dies for us. That is, instead of us, in the place of us, as the substitute for us. And that's the figure here. The figure is of a shepherd who lays down his own life in defending his sheep from the predators. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's also the case that when the text speaks of Jesus' saving work on our behalf, it speaks of that work in the present tense. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth or gives his life for the sheep. Significantly, Jesus does not speak prophetically here of his future suffering and death. It is future from the point at which Jesus speaks the words of our text. Not very far into the future, but in the future nonetheless. Yet Jesus does not say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. But instead says, gives. Gives because he is intent on underscoring the ongoing benefit of the giving of his life. Certainly it is the case. At a moment in time, Jesus gave his life as the good shepherd. But it is also true, and that's what the text underscores, that what happened in that moment of time has everlasting validity. The significance of, the consequences of what happened in that moment of time when he died, endure into the rest of the New Testament age and into eternity hereafter. From that point of view, Jesus says in the text, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. For the sheep. The sheep. Jesus teaches very clearly in the text who they are for whom he laid down his life, for whom he died. He identifies them as his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep. That refers to a definite, particular group of people, particular persons. The atonement of Jesus' cross was a limited atonement or a particular redemption, a word that means basically the same thing. The atonement of the cross was not for every human being. Everyone who ever has been born will yet be born into the world. But Jesus' death was a death for the benefit of some only, and they are his sheep. Only for the sheep does Jesus lay down his life. In the passage itself, Jesus distinguishes his sheep from the hirelings, from the thieves and robbers, from the predators, the wolves and lions and bears. Clearly, in the passage itself, Jesus does not lay down his life for every human being, but for some only. And that's in keeping with the figure in the text of sheep. Sheep. In the end, the sheep are the elect. You do no injustice to the text if you would read it that way. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the elect and the elect alone. The sheep are the elect. That's in keeping with the figure of sheep also. Even the children here this morning know that sheep don't get together and raise their paws in order to see who votes for this man whose name is on the whiteboard to be our shepherd, or raise their paws in support of this man whose name is on the whiteboard. That's ludicrous. It doesn't happen that way. But it is the will of the shepherd that determines who will be his sheep. It is the shepherd who does everything that's necessary for that sheep to be his sheep. He wills that sheep to belong to his flock. He does everything that is necessary to purchase that sheep, to make that sheep his own. The very figure that Jesus uses in the text underscores the truth of sovereign, particular election. Not only does Jesus limit his life, limit his death, by the fact that he says he gives his life only for the sheep, but Jesus limits the scope of his death also by his teaching of the saving benefit that comes to everybody for whom he died. That's Jesus' teaching about his death in our text. Jesus' death actually accomplished the salvation of everybody for whom Jesus died. His death, you see, wasn't only a limited atonement, it was a limited atonement, a real atonement for everybody for whom he died. He redeemed them. His death paid in full their debt, satisfied the justice of God over them. Their guilt was removed by his suffering and death. He accomplished fully their salvation. That too is what we joyfully commemorate in the sacrament this morning. We celebrate with joy that saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The saving benefit into all eternity. The saving benefit for every single one of the sheep. He says in verse 10 that the benefit of his death for them is that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's heavenly and spiritual life, certainly. In verse 28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a benefit to the suffering and death of the Good Shepherd. It ought to be plain that those who teach that Jesus died for every single human being deny the efficacy of Jesus' death. I mean that they deny that Jesus' death really accomplished what it was intended to accomplish for every single person for whom he died. They deny that. They have to deny that. For although Jesus dies for everybody, every human being, there is a hell. And there are people who go to hell. What a blasphemy to teach that Jesus laid down his life as the Good Shepherd. And notwithstanding his laying down his life, there are those for whom he laid down his life who still go to hell, who still suffer the everlasting anguish and pain of the fire of hell. That's what is the result, the necessary result of the teaching that Jesus died for every human being. What an assault on the truth of the atonement. What an attack on the saving work that was accomplished, really accomplished, on the cross. Giving his life for the sheep, there is a great good benefit that comes to the sheep. First of all, that benefit is our deliverance from death. Since he died, we do not have to die. You say this morning, but Pastor, my loved one died. I know this individual who presently has cancer, who's going to die. I've brought this friend of mine to the grave. How can you say that the benefit of Jesus' death is that we do not have to die? I don't mean that. I don't mean that we're not going to have to die so long as we are one of Jesus' sheep. We're not going to have to die physically. Everybody in church this morning is going to have to die someday, unless Jesus comes first. But what I mean is, we who are Jesus' sheep do not die as those who are not Jesus' sheep do die. Oh yes, we die physically, but we do not in death experience the wrath of God. We do not experience death as God's judgment over us because we're guilty sinners. We don't experience death as a foretaste of hell that follows the death that we die. Not that. Not that. That's the experience in death of all who are outside of Jesus Christ, not the sheep of Jesus. We die in the confidence that the sting of death is gone. We die in the confidence that since he died, death is for us only the means to bring us into everlasting life and glory. Delivering us from death, we have life abundant. Now already we experience, we have the foretaste of that life in our knowing God, our friendship with God and with Jesus Christ. We're not only delivered from something, death and hell and the guilt of sin and Satan, but we are delivered unto something and unto someone. And that's life under the favor and blessing of God. That's life in communion with the Good Shepherd who gave his life for us. That life is nourished through the preaching of the word and by means of the sacrament this morning. By the preaching of the word of God and by the sacrament, the great Good Shepherd nourishes us, nourishes in us the abundant life that he's given to us. And by means of the preaching of the word and the sacrament, he protects us. He arms us against the wolves, the bears, the hirelings, all who would destroy us, strengthening us to withstand their attacks. And by means of the preaching of the word and the sacrament, he reassures us of his love for us, the very love that moved him to give his life is the love that preserves us and will preserve us even unto the end. And so through the preaching of the word and by the sacrament, we hear the voice of the great Good Shepherd, and we respond to that voice by following after him. We obey his word. We keep his commandments. No one else will we follow. No other will we obey, only His voice, because His voice is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts this morning, and grant that that word may comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us, exhort us for the life that we must live to the glory of the one who gave his life for us.